الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 50 in our series on the commentary on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi رحمه الله. And in the previous lesson we were looking at the resurrection, the hour and the resurrection, and the signs of the hour, which are part and parcel of belief in the last day. So today on question number 107, the question is, what is the evidence of having iman in death? ما دليل الإيمان بالموت. So this obviously is following on. This is still part and parcel of belief in the last day. So when we speak of the fifth pillar of Iman, Al-Iman bil-Yawm al-Akhir, this comprises many things. It's not just the events from the last day, but also the precursors. This includes the signs of the hour, the minor and the major. It includes also the issue of death, the issue of death, and likewise what follows on from death, which is the barzakh, and whatever happens in the grave. So these are all connected, they're all part and parcel of belief in the last day. And so that's why the Shaykh, rahimahullah, has covered all these issues in these questions. And so today we are looking at the issue of death itself and what happens after death. So the question 107, ما دليل الإيمان بالموت? What is the evidence for having faith in death? Meaning death is something true and real and inevitable, something that Allah has created. Death is a thing. Death is a thing. So the Shaykh brings in his answer, Shaykh Hafiz Rahimullah, he brings numerous ayat. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted said, قُلْ يَتَوَفَاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وُكِّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Say, the angel of death will take you, he who has been appointed over you, then to your Lord shall you be returned. And وقال تعالى, and the Exalted said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Every soul shall taste death, and indeed you shall be given your rewards, your recompense, on the day of judgment. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى لِنَبِيِّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Exalted said to his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Indeed, you shall die, and indeed, they shall die. And also, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, the Exalted said, وَمَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ أَفَإِن مِتَّ فَهُمُ الْخَالِدُونَ. We have not made for any man before you eternity. We gave no man before you eternity. So if you die, are they going to live forever? And وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and the Exalted said, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. Everyone on it, meaning upon the earth, shall perish, and there shall remain the face of your Lord full of majesty and honor. He continues, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and the Exalted said, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything shall perish except his face. وقال تعالى, and the exalted said, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. And rely upon the ever-living, the one who never dies. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ وَفِيهِ مِنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ مَا لَا يُحْصَى وَالْعَمْرُ مُشَاهَدٌ لَا يَجْهَلُهُ أَحَدٌ. And other such ayat, and there are many, many ahadith regarding this which cannot be enumerated, and the affair is observed, no one is ignorant of it. وَلَيْسَ فِيهِ شَكٌّ وَلَا تَرَدُّدٌ. There is no doubt or hesitation regarding this, regarding death as a reality. وَلَكِنْ عِنَادٌ وَاسْتِكِبَارٌ. Rather, it is only arrogance and stubborn opposition. Meaning, what he means here, not that people are denying that people die, but denying that there's life after death, that something comes after death. So, وَلَيْسَ فِيهِ شَكٌ وَلَا تَرَدُّدٌ. There's no doubt or hesitation. وَلَكِنْ عِنَادٌ وَاسْتِكْبَارٌ. Right? Meaning that it's arrogance and stubborn rejection. Meaning denying what comes after death. وَنُؤْمِنُ وَلَا يَعْمَلُ عَلَى مُوجَبِ إِيمَانِهِ بِهِ وَبِمَا بَعْدَهُ إِلَّا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلِصِينَ. إِلَّا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلِصُونَ. So he says, no one acts upon the requirements of believing in this. Right? So meaning that belief in death has requirements. And no one believes in those requirements, or no one acts upon those requirements. And, you know, what happens after death, believe in what happens after death, except the sincere servants of Allah. So death, belief in death means that we believe in what happens after death. If we believe in that, that necessitates from us actions. We have to act on the basis of that belief. And the only people who believe and who act upon that belief are the righteous, sincere servants of Allah. وَنُؤْمِنُ أَنَّ كُلُّ مَنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلْ أَوْ بِأَيِّ سَبَبٍ كَانْ أن ذلك بأجله لم ينقص منه شيئا. We believe also that everyone who dies or is killed through any means, whatever means it might be through that he dies or is killed, we believe that that is by his appointed time, and nothing is decreased from it, meaning that he will die at the actual appointed time. قال الله تعالى, the exalted said, كل يجري لأجل مسمى. All proceed to an appointed time. And وقال تعالى, the exalted said, فإذا جاء أجلهم لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. That when their appointed time comes, they will not be able to delay it for an hour or for a moment, nor will they be able to hasten it. So these are some of the ayat that Shaykh Hafiz Al-Hakami rahimahullah brings to establish belief in death and what happens after death. And so first of all, the commentary from Shaykh Ahmed Al-Najmi rahimahullah ta'ala. And he first of all brings some poetry. وَقَالَ بَعْدُ النَّاسِ. Some people said, أَلَا كُلُّ شَيْءٍ للفناء يسير وكل بناء للخراب جدير, which means that indeed everything will perish. Everything is moving towards destruction and it will perish. And every building is worthy of ruin, meaning that the every building, if left, it naturally goes and it becomes destroyed and it's ruined. وَكُلُّ امْرِئٍ سَوْفَ يُدْعَى لِكَأْسِهِ فَيَقْرَأُهَا بِالرَّغْمِ وَهُوَ صَغِيرٌ. So every person will be called and invited to his vessel or to his cup, and he will sip from it. He will sip from it when he is young or small. كُؤُوسٌ عَلَىٰ عَدِّ الْأَيَّامِ عِدَادُهَا يُسَاوِي بِهَا مُسْتَضْعَفٌ وَخَطِيرٌ. So the general meaning here that every person will be tasting sips over the passing of time, and everyone's equal in this. Everybody, every person is equal in this, the weak and other than him. فَلَلْمَالُ مُغْنٍ عَنْكَ يَوْمًا مِنَ الرَّدَىٰ وَلَلْجَاهُ وَالسُّلْطَانُ مِنْهُ تُجِيرٌ. So neither wealth will save a person on that day from ruin, nor will status or power or authority will give him protection. So he mentions this poetry, the ma'na here is that everybody is proceeding towards death, and everybody, like sip by sip, meaning moment by moment, time by time, he is moving towards death, and nothing will be able to stop that. Not wealth, not honor, not status, nothing will stop a person from that. So the Shaykh goes on to say, commenting upon the general meaning of this poetry, يعني meaning, أن الإنسان قد كتب الله عز وجل أجله وكتب السبب الذي يموت به. Allah has written for every person his appointed time, and he has written the means or the cause through which he will die. And والأرض التي يموت فيها, and the place in which he will die. واليوم الذي يموت فيه, and the day in which he will die. والساعة التي يموت فيها, the hour in which he will die. بل والدقيقة والثانية, rather even the minute and the second in which he will die. So all of this is written and is appointed. The Shaykh goes on to say, المقصود بالساعة. So when we see in the texts when it says that لا يستأخرون ساعة, that they will not be able to delay it for an hour. The meaning here is والمقصود بالساعة هنا الوقت اليسير. It means like a small period of time. إذا كتب الله أنك تموت بالدقيقة الفلانية والثانية الفلانية. So if Allah has written that you will die at a specific minute and a specific second within that minute, فَإِنَّكَ سَيَمُوتُ فِيهَا, then you shall die in that precise moment. فِذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ وَذَلِكَ الشَّهْرِ وَتِلْكَ السَّنَةِ, in that year, in that month, in that day, in that hour, in that minute, in that second, in that precise second. So the Shaykh goes on to say that everything therefore which happens in this world, it is by way of an ajal and by way of a book, right? That everything has an appointed time, and it is by way of what has been written, decreed to happen. It is in a book. عَلَى مُوجَبِ الْكِتَابِ الَّذِي كُتِبَ فِي الْأَزَلِ. So this is in accordance with what has been written from eternity in, obviously, the اللوح المحفوظ. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, we have not omitted or left anything from the book. Here the book in this ayah, al-kitab in this ayah, means al-lawhul mahfuz. So at times al-kitab means scripture, a scripture. At times al-kitab means al-lawhul mahfuz, which is the book of all decrees. Istaw'aba kulla shay'in wa lam yakhruj anhu shay'. Right, in this book everything is contained, nothing is outside of it. حتى الحركات واللفظات والنظرات والخطرات. So everything, even like the motions, the words which are expressed by everybody, the glances and the looks, the thoughts, كلها مكتوبة فيه. All of them are written therein, in this book. And وقالوا, the people will say, the people will say, as we see in Surah Al-Kahf, ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها. What is it with this book that it does not leave even the smallest, minutest thing, and nor the large thing, except that it has enumerated it or recorded it? So, this is the commentary of Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi. We have some speech here also from Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, hafizahullah ta'ala. And he says, Al-Imanu bil-yawm al-akhir yabda'u min al-iman bil-mawt. So as we said, that when we believe in the last day, the starting point of that belief is at the point of death. So in other words, the hereafter isn't necessarily like the day that the hour is established. But the hereafter, there's a hereafter which is for every person, which is his death. Because then he goes to the barzakh. So now he's entered effectively, like, you know, from the stages of the hereafter. So that's for every person. So his qiyamah effectively is established with his death. So that's why the Sheikh says here that al-iman wal-yawm al-akhir yabda'u min al-iman bil-mawt. So belief in the last day begins with belief in death. And wal-mawt makhluqun mawjudun binfisali ar-ruh anil badan. He says that belief in death or death is something created. Death is a creation. Death is something that exists. And it exists by the separation of the soul, the separation of the soul from the body. From the body. الروح لها حياتها والبدن يكون في التراب. So the soul, so at the point of death, the soul has its life and the body is, it goes to the dust. It goes to the dust. Right? So in other words, Sheikh is saying that death is a thing. Death isn't just the absence of life. Right? Death isn't the absence of life. Death isn't like a negative, like a nothingness. Death is a thing, something. It's mawjood. It is makhluq. And it is when the soul separates from the body, the soul continues to have life, and then the body, it goes to the dust. And then he says, after death, the soul and the body are no longer in the same state that they were before death. Before death. So before death, there's a certain way that Allah has connected the body and the soul. Before death. Before death in the life of this world, the Sheikh goes on to explain, he says, وَقَبْلَ الْمَوْتِ الحياة للبدن والروح تبع للبدن. Right? So meaning that before death in the life of this world, the asal, the foundation is that the body has life, and the soul follows on from the body. So whatever the body experiences goes to the soul as a consequence. The soul is a tabu, meaning something that follows the body. And so therefore we see the body, al-badan, yatalazzaz, the body, it tastes pleasure, and wal-ruh, tatalazzaz, taba'an, right? The soul also tastes the pleasure, but it is secondary to the body. And litulazzaz al-badan, right? The soul tastes pleasure because of the body tasting pleasure, it follows on from it. So the Sheikh says, when you eat something, and when you satiate yourself, you eat something, you find the soul finds comfort and ease, and you feel that in yourself. You feel that. This is, you know, like you feel the physical pleasure of the taste, which you find in your like mouth and the tongue, and you feel the pleasures and so on and so forth, and then you feel satiated. But then there's a degree of comfort that you feel also, something which is what is being experienced in the soul. So the Sheikh goes on to say, إِذَا حَصَلْتَ شَيْئًا فَرِحْتَ. Likewise, when you acquire something, your body rejoices, and something which makes you happy. And then likewise, the soul happens, as the soul feels that as well. The soul feels that as well. So, as the Sheikh says, وَالْرُوحْ تَتَلَذَّذْ تَبْعًا لِلْبَدَنِ. So the soul follows on from the body. أَمَّا بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. As for after death, فَالْحَيَاةُ لِلْرُوحِ وَالْبَدَنِ وَلَكِنَّ الْحَيَاةُ لِلْرُوحِ أَصَالَةٌ وَالْبَدَنِ تَبْعٌ. So after death, it is the other way around. After death, it is the other way around. The soul now becomes the foundation. So in the barzakh, the soul, after death, the soul becomes the foundation. And so when the soul tastes pleasure, then that reaches the body also. And when the soul feels pain and punishment, this also reaches the body as a consequence, because the body now is a tab'un. It is like a subsidiary or a corollary. It follows on from the soul. The Shaykh goes on to say that yes, bliss and punishment, reward and punishment after death, to have iman in this is wajib. It is obligatory to believe in that. Not just believe in life after death, because there are people who believe in life after death, but then they have other philosophies or ideas. For example, some of them, like the Hindus say, the Hindus and those who have similar beliefs, they say that you will be reincarnated. There's reincarnation. And you will be reincarnated either to a higher form, a nobler form, or a lower form. A lower form of life, of being, depending on how you lived your life. So this is what you find amongst the Hindus and others. They believe in reincarnation. Others have other ideas that when you die, your soul is freed from captivity in the body, and that, you know, the soul is eternal. The soul never dies. The soul is an eternal being. They have all these other beliefs and ideas, but that which is true and real and correct is that after death, because life is not without purpose, life is not vain, life is a test and trial, and after death there will be an-na'im wal-adhab, so therefore it is obligatory to believe in that, right? That there's life after death, not just that, but there is punishment and reward. And so you believe, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِذَلِكَ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ نَعْعَمَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعَذَّبَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Right, so we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal, after the people's death, that He will give bliss, reward to the believers, and He will punish the disbelievers. He will give bliss to the believers by giving bliss and reward to their souls in paradise, and to their bodies in their graves. Right? So the believers will be receiving bliss in their souls, which are in paradise, but their bodies will also feel that too, even though they are separated. كما ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال. He mentions a hadith, نسمة المؤمن طائر يعلق في ثمار الجنة. That the soul of a believer is like a bird which is in paradise. It moves in between the trees and the fruits of paradise. And likewise, والبدن أيضا, the body also likewise feels the same. So therefore, the grave is a pit among the pits of hellfire, or it is a garden from the gardens of paradise. And, you know, obviously there are other descriptions to them which only Allah Azza wa Jal, He knows. So this is Shaykh Salih al-Shaykh Hafizahullah Ta'ala. So from that we take that belief in death is indicated. Death is a true and real thing. It's not merely the absence of life. It is a true and real thing. And life after death also requires belief that there will be punishment and reward. This is from Allah's justice. This is unlike what is believed by false religions, such as reincarnation or other beliefs that they have. Because after life, there has to be justice, there has to be reward, there has to be recompense. Otherwise, life itself becomes meaningless. It becomes vain, and it means that the criminal, the greatest of criminals, can commit all the crimes that they want, plunder, loot, murder, kill everything, and torture people, everything, and live a happy life, enjoyable, pleasurable life, and then they die, and that's it. Nothing really happens. So this is not in line with Allah's justice. So it is obligatory to believe in life after death and punishment and reward after death as well. Question 108. ما دليل فتنة القبر ونعيمه أو عذابه من الكتاب. So next now, that we've established belief in death is part of believing in the last day. So what now is the specific proof for belief in the grave, its punishment and its reward? First of all, from the Quran. So from the Quran, قال الله تعالى, this is Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi رحمه الله answering the question. From the Quran, قال الله تعالى, Allah the Exalted said, كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. No, it is but a word that he says, and behind or in front of them or coming to them is a barzakh, is a partition until the day that they are resurrected. So here the word barzakh is mentioned. And likewise in another ayah, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, the Exalted said, وَحَاقَ بِآلِ فِرْعَوْنَ سُوءُ الْعَذَابِ, that the most evil type of punishment encompassed Fir'aun and his people, the people of Fir'aun. النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا, the hellfire will they be subjected to morning and evening. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. And when the hour is established, on the day the hour is established, it will be said, enter Fir'aun, or enter the people of Fir'aun, into the most severe torment. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and the Exalted said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will make firm those who believe, with a firm word, a firm established statement in the life of this world and in the hereafter. That's a reference to the answer of the believer when he's asked the questions in the grave. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and the Exalted also said, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الظَّالِمُونَ فِي غَمَرَاتِ الْمَوْتِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاسِطُ أَيْدِيهِمْ أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. And if you were to see when the oppressors are in the throes of death, or in the stupors of death, and the angels stretch out their hands saying, give up your souls. Today you shall be recompensed with a humiliating punishment. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى سَنُعَذِّبُهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ ثُمَّ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ عَظِيمٍ. We shall punish them twice, and then they shall be returned to a mighty punishment. So here three punishments are mentioned. And so life in the world, life in the barzakh, and then returned to the hereafter, to the mighty punishment. وَغِيرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ, and there are other such ayat. So, commenting upon this, Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, he says, al-barzakh, what is al-barzakh? The partition. Huwa al-fasilu bayna shay'ain, it is something that separates between two things. Wal-barzakh al-maqsood huna huwa al-fasilu bayna dunya wal-akhirah. As for what is meant by al-barzakhiyah, it is that which is a partition between the life, between the world and the hereafter. And what does it refer to specifically? وَهُوَ مُكُوثُ النَّاسِ فِي قُبُورِهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ So the barzakh refers to people inhabiting the graves until the establishment of the hour. That is the barzakh. So for everyone, the barzakh, for example, there are people now in the barzakh from yesterday and from last year and from the last 10 years, from last century, from the last millennia. So people are in the barzakh already. And so that time for them to the hereafter is like a partition for them between the world and the hereafter. فَهَذَا هُوَ الْبَرْزَخْ هِنَا يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَهَذَا هُوَ الْبَرْزَخْ So people will remain in the graves until the horn is blown. This is what is known as al-barzakh. لِأَنَّهُ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ It separates between the world and the hereafter. And then the Shaykh goes on to mention the same ayat that you just heard. We won't repeat them all again. The ayat mentioning the people of Fir'aun being punished morning and evening, and then they will be given in the hereafter, they will be entered into the fire. And likewise, the ayah which mentions how Allah will make firm those who believe with a firm word in the life of this world and the hereafter. This is speaking about when a believer answers the question, who is your Lord, what is your religion, who was this man that was sent amongst you, this prophet. So Allah will support them by saying a firm word. This is what the ayah means. This is a clear reference to the barzakh. Likewise, the Shaykh mentions also the oppressors, the wrongdoers at the moment of death when the angels call them to give up your souls. That also is a proof. And likewise, the last ayah that we mentioned, سَنُعَذِّبُهُمْ مَرَّتَيْنِ that we shall punish them twice, ثُمَّ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَذَابٍ عَظِيمٍ Then they will be returned to a mighty punishment. So, all of that, the Shaykh then goes on to mention that specific ayah to do with the people of Fir'aun, النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلِيهَا غُدُوًا وَعَشِيًّا Morning and evening, they shall be subjected to the fire. This cannot be, this is not the hereafter, this is in the barzakh. In the barzakh. And the Shaykh goes on to say about the ayah that we mentioned before, that it's the angels that stretch out their hands, striking the oppressors, telling them to give up your souls. So this is evidence from the Quran. And we have likewise some speech from Shaykh Saleh. Al-Shaykh. And he says that the punishment of the grave and its bliss is haqq. It is true and it is real. And the tribulation of the grave is true and real. And what do we mean by tribulation of the grave? We mean the questioning of the two angels. They ask about who is your Lord, what is your religion, who is this prophet, who is this man that was sent to you. So the believer will answer and he will say, Rabbi Allah. He will say, my Lord is Allah, and meaning my ma'bud, meaning the one that I worship. Because sometimes Rabb, by what is meant by it, is ilah. Because Rabb necessitates ilah. So he will say, Rabbi Allah, meaning ma'budi, meaning the one that I worshipped is Allah. And because as the Shaykh says, the trial is not on the basis of rububiyyah, who is your Lord, it's on the basis of uluhiyyah, meaning who did you worship? So, then he will answer that this man, my religion is Islam, and this man is Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ja'ana bil bayyinati wal huda, that he came to us with clear evidences and guidance, and he will say, my religion was Islam. This is what is meant, yuthabbitullahu alladhina amanu bil qawli thabiti fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah. This is what is meant, that Allah will make firm those who believe with a firm speech, firm statement, in the life of this world and in the hereafter. Hereafter meaning after death. So the Sheikh goes on to say that the punishment and the bliss in the grave is true and real. Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they believe in it and they affirm it. And there are those from the people of innovation and misguidance who deny it. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal, He said clearly, from the most explicit of proofs in the Quran is the ayah regarding the people of Fir'aun. النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا ويوم تقوم الساعة أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد العذاب. This is from the most clearest, the clearest of evidences that there is punishment before the resurrection and before the hellfire. And so in this ayah there are two types of punishment. One, which they are subjected to morning and evening, and the other, which is in the hereafter, when they shall be entered into the hellfire. And obviously the first one, we clearly understand that it is the punishment of the grave, because it mentions morning and evening. And so therefore what we can clearly see is that Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, based upon these ayat, based upon these ahadith, which are very, the ahadith we shall come to shortly, inshallah ta'ala, and likewise on the basis of ijma', on the basis of consensus, they believe in this reality or this truth, but also on account of aql, on account of reason as well, the Shaykh says. وَبِمَا يَدُلُّ عَلِيهِ الْأَقَلْ عَيْدًا. Reason also necessitates this. So therefore the punishment is of the grave, it is true. And likewise what happens in the grave of bliss and expansion, and conversely the narrowness and the fire in the grave, all of this is true and real. We believe in it, it is true and real. But we do not know the kayfiyah, because the barzakh is a different world. There are different asbab, causes and their effects. We can't fathom and we can't understand that world, but just because we cannot understand that world does not mean it does not exist. We cannot see the world of the jinn, but they are true and real. We cannot see the world of the angels, but it is true and real. And likewise the barzakh, what happens therein, where the soul is the primary, like the basis, then we don't understand that, but we believe in it firmly. Likewise from the affairs is the compression of the grave. The compression of the grave. Dagda. And this is haqq, this is true and real. Nobody will escape it. Not a Muslim, not other than a Muslim. The disbeliever, when he is given the compression of the grave, it is a compression of punishment and of hatred and punishment. And what happens, it will compress to a degree that the person's ribs will, you know, go like this, they will cross each other like this. As for the believer, this compression of the grave is like an embrace, like a hug, right? And although it might be uncomfortable slightly, just like when somebody hugs you quite strongly, it's a bit uncomfortable, but nevertheless it is like the hug of a beloved to a beloved. And it is on account of love, as the Shaykh says, it's an embrace of love for the believer, and for the kafir, it is one of bughd wa adhab, of hatred and punishment. And to all of this, Allah Azza wa Jal, this is something that he brings about, he creates, and this is something that happens with the earth, or in a way that we do not understand. And this is the difference between the believer and the disbeliever. Then the Shaykh goes on to the next question, which is question 109. And this is مَا دَلِيلُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ السُنَّةِ. What is the evidence for this from the Sunnah? So we looked at the evidence. If anyone asks you, there are people who deny the punishment of the grave. They try to deny the ahadith, because they find a way to deny the ahadith. They claim, or this is ahad, these are solitary narrations, even though that's not true. because they can't deny the Quran. The evidence of the Quran is very explicit. So they interpret the Quran in a way that is not correct, and then they deny the ahadith which mention this reality. So the Shaykh in the next question, ما دليل ذلك من السنة, what is the evidence for that from the Sunnah? So he says that الأحاديث الصحيحة في ذلك بلغت مبلغ التواتر. The ahadith in this regard, they have reached the level of التواتر. التواتر meaning large scale, overwhelming transmission. Right, this has been transmitted on a large scale, on a big level, overwhelmingly passed through generation to generation. And from the ahadith, in this regard, there are many ahadith. From the ahadith is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا وُضِعَ فِي قَبْرِهِ وَتَوَلَّ عَنْهُ أَصْحَابُهُ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعُ قَرْعَ نِعَالِهِمْ أَتَاهُ مَلَكَانِ فَيُقْعِدَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ ما كنت تقول في هذا الرجل محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. When the servant is put in his grave and the people, his companions, turn and return, meaning the one who buried him, they go and, you know, he hears the steps of their feet, of their shoes walking away. Two angels come to him. They sit him up and they say, what did you say about this man Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? فَأَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُ فَيَقُولُ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ فَيَقُولُ لَهُ أُنْظُرْ إِلَى مَقْعَدِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ فَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَقْعَدًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَرَاهُمَا جَمِيعًا. Right, so as for the believer, he will say, I testify that he was Allah's slave and his messenger, meaning Muhammad alayhi salam. So then the angel will say to him, look at your place in the hellfire. Meaning there was a place for him in the hellfire, had he been from the inhabitants of the hellfire, had Allah not saved him from it. So he looks at it. He sees both of them. He sees his place in paradise, which he will be given, and he sees the place which he would have been in, the place in hellfire. And وَذُكِرَ لَنَا أَنَّهُ يُفْسَحُ فِي قَبْرِهِ, in a narration, it's mentioned that his grave will then be expanded. Right, that's one hadith. Then we come to the back to the hadith of Anas, it continues. قال وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقُ وَالْكَافِرُ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. As for the hypocrite or the disbeliever, it will be said, what did you used to say about this man? فيقول لا أدري كنت أقول ما يقول الناس. He will say, I do not know. I just repeated what the people used to say. I said what they used to say. So this obviously is a hypocrite, and he doesn't believe in the hereafter, in the Prophet, in the Quran, in Allah. He's just for the maslaha of the dunya, he's just saying what the people say. Really, he's after the dunya, wealth, glitter, status, whatever it might be, and he's not really saying it as a matter of belief, firm belief. So فيقال لا دريت ولا تليت, لا دريت ولا تليت. So what this means is, so when he says لا دريت ولا تليت, means you neither read the Quran, nor did you understand the Quran, nor did you read the Quran. This is what it means. لا دريت ولا تليت. ويضرب بمطارق من حديد ضربة فيصيح صيحة يسمعها من يليه غير الثقلين. So then he will be struck with a mace made of iron, with a strike. Then he will scream with a scream, which anyone who is around him, who are other than the men and jinn, they will hear it. They will hear that person screaming from the strike he is given by the angels for not answering the question correctly. So this is the hadith of Anas bin Malik radiyallahu anhu. It is reported by Al-Bukhari. And all these ahadith are reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih. Likewise, there is the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا مَاتَ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ مَقْعَدُهُ بِالْغَضَاءِ وَالْعَشِيِّ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَمِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيُقَالْ هَذَا مَقْعَدُكَ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَكَ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So indeed, one of you, when he dies, his place is shown to him morning and evening. If he's from the people of paradise, then from the people of paradise. And if he's from the people of hellfire, then from the people of hellfire. And it will be said, this is your place, this will be your place until Allah raises you or resurrects you on the day of judgment. This is also a clear hadith mentioning the punishment of the grave and the reward or the punishment of the grave. And likewise, the hadith of the two graves, the two people in the graves, this is also an evidence for the reward and the punishment in the grave. The one in which he said, إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ. Like the two people who will be punished, one who was not careful in the way that he relieved himself or urinated, and the other one who would spread speech, namima. That's a clear evidence that those two inhabitants were being punished. وحديث أبي أيوب رضي الله عنه who said خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد وجبت الشمس فسمع صوتا فقال يهود تعذب في قبورها. So the Prophet عليه السلام was walking until the sun descending, and he heard a voice. He heard it like a voice or a scream, and he said, "These are Yahud who are being punished in their graves." Again, related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. وحديث أسماء, the hadith of Asma. قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطيبا, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he stood as a خطيب. فذكر فتنة القبر التي يفتن فيها المرء. So he mentioned the tribulation of the grave which a man shall be put to trial with. فلما ذكر ذلك ضج المسلمون ضجة. When he mentioned that, the Muslims were disturbed with a disturbance. وقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد صلى صلاة إلا تعوذ من عذاب القبر. So after that, we did not see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم praying a prayer except that he sought refuge from the punishment of the grave. And after that, at the end of the prayer. Likewise, وفي قصة الكسوف أمرهم صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يتعوذوا من عذاب القبر. Likewise, in the hadith related to the كسوف, the eclipses, he commanded them to seek refuge from the punishment of the grave. So these are hadith. He's mentioned only a sample of them, the Shaykh. وكل هذه الأحاديث في الصحيح. And he said that we have quoted, this is Al-Hafidh Al-Hakami now, that we've quoted around 60 hadiths from established routes, from a group from the Sahaba, and they are all hadiths that are traced back to the Prophet ﷺ. In our explanation, في شرحنا على السلم فليراجع, meaning that we mentioned them in سلم الوصول, and the sharh of that, Ma'arijul Qubul. So the Shaykh has a compilation of the creed, and then he has a commentary upon that, Ma'arijul Qubul, and the sheikhs that we gathered all the ahadith in that particular, so refer back to that. So Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi just has one comment, here. He says that the believer will have his grave expanded to the extent of his vision. And in another narration, Situna Dira'an min kulli nahiya. In another narration, it says that it will be 60 arm lengths expanded in every direction, the grave of the believer. And Wakitab Ma'arij al-Qubul, Kitabun Azim, Jadirun bil-Qira'ah. The book Ma'arij al-Qubul that the Sheikh mentioned, this is a mighty book. It's a great book, thin number of volumes, and it's worthy of being read, that we read it time after time. This is Sheikh Ahmed, and as for, we have some commentary once again from Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, and we can finish with this inshallah ta'ala. So Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, he says, believing in the punishment of the grave and the questioning by Munkar and Nakir and the tribulation of the grave, it has been indicated, as we said before, by the Quran and the Sunnah. The evidences are very many, and it is reported by large scale transmission from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This clearly indicates that in the grave and in the barzakh there is punishment and there is reward for a person. And the basis of this matter, the Sheikh says, the reason why this issue is raised is because there are certain beliefs coming from certain factions, from the Mu'tazila, from the Jahmiya, from the Falasifa, and from others, from the people of Kalam, the people of rhetoric, where they reject the punishment of the grave. And they reject the questioning in the grave and the testing, the tribulation. And that's because they do not believe that the Sunnah provides definitive knowledge, certain knowledge regarding the affairs of the unseen. So what they do, as we said earlier, that they will reject the hadiths. So they will say, oh, these are ahad hadiths. They haven't been reported in a sufficiently strong manner for us to believe them. We can't accept these hadiths in beliefs. And then as for the Qur'an, what do they do with the Qur'an? As we said, they come and they make interpretations because they can't deny the ayat. So they make ta'wil, they make explanations, you know, of the ayat. So the Sheikh says, in order for us to have a clear position in this matter, then we should understand the following three principles, the following three points. The first one is that the punishment of the grave and the tribulation of the grave is a matter of the unseen. It's a matter of the unseen. And the affairs of the unseen, their position, with the affairs of the unseen, it is simply a matter of belief, right? Meaning they are held as beliefs because they are from the unseen, so it can only be held as a belief, and because it cannot be looked at, nor does it have an equal whereby we can make an analogy for it either, right? So in other words, the intellect cannot comprehend these affairs of the unseen because they cannot be seen, nor do they have an example in what is seen for the aql, for the reason to be able to comprehend it, right? So meaning that the only requirement from us in relation to these types of issues is belief, taslim, submission, belief, acceptance. And that's the only thing that is required from us. And because the Sheikh says, وَلَا تُدْرِكُهَا الْعُقُولِ بَلْ تَحَارُ فِيهَا الْعُقُولِ. This is because the intellects are unable to comprehend these affairs. They are bewildered by these affairs. فَيَجِبُ الْإِيمَانُ بِهَا وَالتَّسْلِيمُ عَلَى نَحْوِ مَا جَاءَ فِي الْخَبَرِ الصَّادِقِ فِي الْوَحِي. Right? So it is obligatory for us to believe in them and to submit to whatever has come in the truthful reports through revelation. Right, that's the first point, first principle. This is how we treat these affairs. Second point, it says that the evidences from the book and the sunnah have indicated that have clearly indicated that punishment and reward will be attained by people in the grave, and they will be questioned and put to trial in the grave. And these points, these two points, have been related by a large number of ahadith. Lots of ahadith which establish the punishment and the tribulation in the grave, and that the barzakh, as a partition, as an intermediate stage, is the place in where there will be bliss and punishment, reward and punishment upon a person. And so when that is the case, then we have to submit to what the evidence actually shows. Especially when it is mutawatir, especially when it is through large-scale transmission. Lafzan, in wording, not just in meaning, but in wording as well. So this is the second point that we have to believe, because the evidence shows that there will be punishment and reward in the barzakh. And the third point, the Shaykh says, is that the mukhalifin, the opposers, he says that what they did is hum mimman yuhakkimun al-aql, they are the ones who make the intellect to be the judge, to be the criterion. ويردون عالم الغيب إلى عالم الغيب إلى عالم الشهادة. So what do? They take the world of the unseen and they compare it to the world of the seen. Right? So remember, in the first point we said that the aql cannot, because it's from the unseen, because the aql cannot understand it, because it doesn't have an example in what is seen, therefore the only response is to believe in it. Right? So this in a way allows us to see the nature of the mistake of those who reject these things. How are they led to reject these things? It's because they go through the following process. They make the aql, reason, to be the criterion of what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, what is real, what is unreal. Just like the disbelievers, right? You know, they say the only criterion is reason and science and the scientific method and you know, whatever. That's what they say. So whatever that demonstrates to be, we accept it, and whatever is outside of that, then it's not possible, and it's fantasy, and it's imagination, and it's this and that, and whatever. Right? So what they say here is they make the aql to be the judge. They take the world of the unseen, and they understand it, or they analogize for it, or they return it back to the world of the unseen. Right? Then they make analogies. Make analogies between the two things, between what is unseen and seen. And then they judge upon the texts. They say, no, wait a minute, this thing that the text mentions, that in the grave will be expanded and that a person will be rewarded or punished, this does not really make any sense to us. We can't understand it because we don't see it, and you know, we don't see this in. So therefore, then they reject these ahadith because they say these ahadith cannot be understood. They are not comprehensible, and you know, and then they give it some other explanation, or they explain it, or they reject the hadith because it's not mutawatir. So the Sheikh says, because of these misguided people from the Jahmiyyah, Falasifa, Mu'tazila, people of Kalam, and even some of the Fuqaha of the Sunnah who maybe in some issues they were affected by this. This is why the people of the Sunnah, they mention this point specifically in the books of creed, the issue of the punishment and reward of the grave. Because of these people who were present, you know, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila way back in the second century of Islam, So this is why it is an important part of our belief. So نص عليها وسارت من مسائل العقائد التي يعلن أهل السنة الإيمان بها وتقرير ما دلت عليه. This is why the people of the Sunnah, they specifically state this belief from the affairs of belief, and they announce it openly, and they say that believing in this is necessary, and so on and so forth. So this brings us to the end of that question and its commentary. So I think we'll stop at this point, and we'll leave the next question 110, for the next lesson, insha'Allah ta'ala. And with that, we'll conclude today's lesson. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.